Hi, it's really great to have you with us. I'm Rob Porter. My wife Heather and I have the amazing privilege of being the senior pastors at Kingdom Culture Church in Burpengary, Queensland. We have an incredible preaching team, and I hope that this message will encourage and bless you as you listen.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Hello again.
Hello again.
How is everybody?
Good.
Are you guys ready for the panel? Panels are always my favourite sessions because we just get to ask whatever we want. So I encourage you, take advantage of this time and get those questions in that you were longing to ask these amazing women, yeah?
Yeah.
Amazing. Why don't we all just put our hands out in front of us, ready to receive, and I'll pray to kick us off. God, we just thank you for what you've already been doing at Confidence Conference. God, I thank you that you're here in the room. God, I thank you that you're going to speak this morning. God, I pray for women who have come in today with questions and uncertainties. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to that today. God, for women who feel like they're in a fight that's never ending, Lord, I pray that you'd bring clarity. God, I pray that you'd bring tools. I pray that there'd be breakthrough for them today. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All righty. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How are we? How did we all sleep last night?
I slept well. I slept so good. So good.
They're lying. Actually, none of them. I didn't sleep so well. I'm actually going to ask you a question. How do you get to sleep after a conference night? Yeah. Because it's hard. You're wound up. And
it takes me so long to unwind.
Yeah.
You know, like, because I'm just so hyped. Yeah.
I have these drops I have to tell you about.
Yeah.
They're actually called magic mushroom drops.
I like it.
They're all natural. The Lord
sure
made
they
them.
Are.
No, they actually are all natural. And just 10 drops on your tongue and it's awesome.
Heard it here first, folks.
You're going to get them at Woolies.
Mushroom drops.
Yeah. I was going to ask if it's okay to recommend drugs,
absolutely.
But since Stacey has, I also have a natural remedy called ashwagandha. Has anyone heard of it?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Okay. Amazing. Mm-hmm.
Good. We have drops and lavender oil, Rachel was saying. As
come
well.
To women's conference.
Chamomile tea.
Yes.
So good. Just clarifying, none of us are medical professionals,
that's
okay?
Right.
So just cover our butts a little bit. All right. Is it okay if we just jump straight in?
Jump straight in.
Yeah, awesome. Because women like to ask deep questions, so there's a lot of deep questions. So I might kick off. What is one time where you've been confronted with a fight? And what did you use? Like, what tools did you use to defeat that? Can you give an example from your life?
You can go first.
A deep. Well, actually, if I share it now, I don't have to share it during my preach, so that's good. May as well get vulnerable real quick, okay? So I actually have been struggling a lot. Who's been struggling? Okay, good. There's hands in the room. We're not on our own. Okay, thank you, thank you. I'll pay you later. So we're not on our own. We're all actually going through the same thing. And I think if there's one thing I want you to come away with is that we are all made of the same stuff. Whether we are standing or sitting up here or wherever you are, we are made of the same stuff. And I've struggled a lot over the last few months and probably in some ways up and down a lot since about May last year. Recently, I think I said to my husband, actually, I've woken up for the first time without a sense of dread this morning. Every morning I wake up with this sense of dread and anxiety. And I've been, you know, looking at different things and doing things and things. But as a nurse, I would recommend always, not only do you have the spiritual weapons, but obviously you have your other weapons. And I use the analogy, halt. Are you hungry, angry, lonely, tired when you're fighting? You know, the Snickers, are you just Snickers hungry? Do we just need chocolate here or is this a real fight?
Yeah.
So I found out that I really needed estrogen. And what a difference it made. And so I found out I wasn't going mad after all. And so, I mean, that's probably 30, 40, 50% of it. But sometimes we're put off going to the doctor or doing things or checking things out when often there's a physical cause. Deborah Smart, who was here last night, she's a naturopath. She would give you all 100% things. You know, go and get some help first. That's one of the first things I say to people. Have you been to the doctor? Have you had a blood test recently?
So true.
Anyway, so that was the physical side, and I'll share the spiritual side when I preach.
All right, so can't wait to hear part two to that. Pastor Carolina.
Yes, I have recently been in a fight, still in a fight, and I think your prayer just now for the woman who feels like she's in a never-ending fight, do you know what? We all are in a never-ending fight. And in life, you always have like these parallel worlds happening where things are really, really awful and really, really great. Yep. Yep. And you never actually take a break from that. That's life. Mm-hmm. And I think I realized, for those of you who don't know, I lost my husband in April this year after a 14-month battle with bowel cancer. And we believed 100%, never a shadow of doubt that he was going to be healed. We had every prophetic word under the sun, like more than three confirmed. I'm telling you, it was like 3,000 prophetic words. And you know, a lot came up, obviously in me, in Sam, in our kids. We have four kids. Do we have a photo of my family that we can pop up? No. Maybe tonight. And I realized a lot of things. The truth is that pressure reveals what's in you. You don't know that a tube of toothpaste has toothpaste in it until you squeeze it.
So good.
You can suspect it does because it says it on the outside and that's what you paid for, but until you squeeze it, you actually don't know what's in there.
Really good.
And that's what happens with pressure. You don't know what's in there. And I think we'd all like to hope that we had the good stuff in there. Yeah. But we really don't know until the pressure comes on. Pressure causes performance or puncture. And both are good. Because even if you puncture, now you know.
Yeah.
Now you know where the crack in your foundation might be. Now you know where a weak spot might be. And just take it to God and be honest and make that a strength. And so for me, I realized, you know, I wasn't actually angry at God. I realized I wasn't disappointed. I wasn't bitter or resentful. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm so glad. But one thing that I couldn't reconcile was, why did Sam have to suffer the way that he did? And, you know, because all the scriptures, God, you say that you will protect a righteous man and his family. You know, all the scriptures that we were quoting. And I saw that disease eat him alive from the inside out and had to nurse him through the most hellish nights. And I just couldn't reconcile that until one day the Holy Spirit just said to me, Carolina, everybody suffers. And that was just Sam suffering. And he passed his test. You've got to pass yours.
Wow.
None of us are going to be exempt from the fight.
Yeah.
None of us. We do have a choice on how we respond in the fight.
Yeah. Yep.
So instead of asking why, please don't ever ask why. Why has no answers, not on this side of eternity. You will dig yourself into a hole. You'll get on a spiral. Don't ask why. Ask what now. What now always has an answer. And I'm just believing that we're in a day now where the people of God, the children of God, need to get a little bit tough. We need to stop being entitled, prissy, sooky, pathetic. We need to stop blaming God.
Yep.
It's a fallen world.
Yep.
But you have so much grunt inside you.
Yep.
And there's always an answer to what now. If you wake up every day with what now, you'll realize how blessed you are, how much there is to live for, that the cause has not changed. No matter what the circumstances are saying, there's still plenty of for you to live for. So for me, I think what helped me in my fight was realizing everyone suffers.
Yeah.
And we all just actually have an opportunity to pass the suffering test.
Yep. Yep. So good.
I think when we talk about a weapon, when nobody else is there is actually when we find out what we're made of. When nobody's applauding, nobody's saying great preaching, great worship leading, great life group leading. When there's just you and Jesus is when you find out what you're really made of.
Yeah.
And we will all face challenges in life. Mm. And any authority that God has graced my life with in opening the Word of God, worship leading, has been gained when nobody's been looking.
That's right. Yeah.
And in the moments where he has said, can you bring me a song when you're bleeding a baby out of your body?
Mm.
Can you bring me a song when you're the barren woman? In those moments when I've sat at my piano with nobody else there, worshipping the Lord in the midst of my grief with all of my heart, not for any audience except for Jesus, when I've put worship as my weapon on my lips, they're the intangibles that people talk about. Like, can you teach me to worship lead like that? No, actually, I can't. I can give you some skills and I can coach you, but that's the stuff only you and Jesus can find together. So worship has been a weapon that has ministered to me, has healed me from the inside out before I've ever tried to sing healing over anybody else. So it's always come back to that for me. Where is your song when no one else is looking, not when there's just a room that you want to lead?
Yeah, awesome. That's great.
So wonderful. Good. So we have a few questions coming through about motherhood and the fight that is motherhood in raising the next generation. So we have one question here. What would you say your biggest challenge in motherhood is? Spiritual, physical, practical? If anyone wants to speak to that?
You guys can jump in first. I'll
talk about one I'm facing right now because of three teenagers and a preteen who are in a Christian school and are facing some issues of absolute truth. This is very fresh. My husband and I have just had our second meeting this week with the principal of our school. And funnily enough, we're the third lot of parents this week and all of us are from the same church. I love that. Because our children have just had a gender seminar that we weren't told about. And my 14-year-old came home and said, Mum, I don't think this is what we believe. And I said, oh, sweetheart, Mummy needs to go make some noise now. Of course, out of love. But this is a really defining time for our school community and just for our world. So right now, I think one of the challenges and the fight is that my children know that I will advocate for them at all times, that they will know my faith is real, that I mean what I preach to them and to the church, and that we will go and have the difficult conversations in love without making threats of, well, we're out of here, and we've got a lot of other parents who are leaving the school at the moment. We want to be committed to the conversation and to doing what we can to support this and really teaching our children to be able to speak the truth in love. My second son, who's a hot dog, he's passionate about everything and hilarious, but he's faced a child in his class from a Christian family who was male before the school holidays and then female afterwards. And the school not knowing what to say to this. So the kids thinking that the school's silence was approval. And watching him not know how to cope with it, and so he was making fun of it. That broke our hearts.
Yeah.
that he didn't know how to love what he didn't understand. So I think the biggest fight for us right now with the age of our children is teaching them how to live in a world that tells them truth is subjective. Yeah. For them to know that truth is not subjective, truth is absolute, and the authority is the word of God, and yet to be very loving of people who are different, and yet never shying away from speaking the truth. Because we've done both in the church, right? All truth but no love, and all love, which means we don't speak the truth. But the word says a sign of maturity is speaking the truth in love. Yeah. And so I think that's probably the biggest fight for me personally with my kids right now. I'm sure it's the same here, but in the city of Melbourne, huge. And as the leader of the creative team in Melbourne, huge.
I think, thanks so much, Stacey. I think Gabby faces that at school too. Three of her friends, in fact, so many of them actually see that being bisexual is probably the less judgmental way to be, because heterosexual is sort of very exclusive and boring. Gay is maybe a bit too out there, but bisexual gives you options both ways. And so this is what your kids are being, you know, that's what their friends are saying. Well, just, you know, it doesn't mean I'm... Somebody, one of her friends, you know, said recently, I'm bisexual, but that doesn't mean I'm gay. It's just that I could swing either way. So, I totally agree. It's teaching them, equipping yourself. Like I recently, equipping yourself, your children with what their strengths are. So recently, Gabby's a real introvert, and I found a book at Kurong about the strength of the introvert. And it's all about, written by a woman who's a Christian woman coach. She's an introvert, but she's sort of reflecting back on her life and what she did and what she would do now differently. And Gabby was so pleased. She'd never had a book on introverts before. And seeing, strengthening them the way that they are made and their qualities, and celebrating, obviously all the way through, celebrating what they're really doing well. And I think... For me, when obviously you've heard lots of stories of us raising Fred, as both of our children are adopted. So that's what I went through. I don't think is any different in some ways what every woman goes through, in the sense that you are not prepared for the journey that you have when you have a kid. Sometimes you're forever playing catch up. So I would definitely say, as much as possible, if you can, prepare yourself for what is going to happen when you have your baby, and when they, you know, you've got to always just be one step ahead. You've got to be preparing them for the next season. You know, often I remember parenting Fred as though he was an 8-year-old and now he was a 12-year-old, and realizing you can't do that. You've got to change, you know, when you eventually got to stop cutting up their food, you know, which I actually did once, cutting up Fred's food at the table, and he goes, Mum. Oh, sorry, I just went into automatic toddler mode. I don't know why that season passed.
Was that last week?
Yeah.
Last week, yeah.
That passed 7 years ago. And they're like, hello, stop pulling out my clothes for me. A lot of it for Fred put what Carolina said about what gets pressed. You know, I think parenthood is such a wonderful thing that presses you. I didn't know I was an angry woman until Fred came along. And I forever, a long time... Yeah, Anna's the same, yeah. He has that knack of pushing that button. He's so gorgeous and lovable, but he just has a way of like... And so I was this loving, beautiful wife. And then when Fred was a toddler, obviously, when we brought him in, and he didn't like women. He'd already been abandoned by three women in his life. So I come along and go, hey, I've given up my career, been married for 7 years, solo, you know, with no kids. And now you've got me. And he's like, oh, thanks. I'm like happy on my own. I'm independent. And so there wasn't this natural bonding straight away. So I think... I look back now and I probably did have a bit of post-adoption depression. I didn't recognise it at the time. So I would say get help early for things. Don't think you're on your own and you can't talk to anyone about it. Don't take it out on your kids. Look at what you're doing and thinking... Because mostly it's about you. It's not so much about what the kid's doing. It's actually what's going on in your heart. And for me, I'd realised... I made these inner vows that I was going to be this perfect mum. This kid was never going to shame me. I was going to grew up in a chaotic home, so I decided that my home was, you know, all those things that are subconscious. You don't even know you've made them until all of a sudden you start examining those beliefs. And then you realise that this tight, square box that you're trying to put your child in, you need to be a lot more flexible, a lot more resilient and a lot... Yeah, so there's... But thankfully, a wonderful quote that my pastor in Perth gave me...
is that we do our little bit and God does his huge, massive bit. So, you know, as a parent, you keep saying sorry, you keep asking forgiveness, you keep seeking the Lord. And honestly, he does his amazing. We weren't perfect parents, but God's call on Fred's life and prayer and saying sorry is what does it. We, you know, I've had him pinned up against the wall when he was a kid. I've slapped his face. I've called him all sorts of names. He's called me all sorts of names. So there's no perfect family out there, but prayer, we believe in a perfect God. Amen?
Amen. I think that we can be a little bit too precious with our children, and we forget that actually they're God's children and he's given them to us to steward. And so my children, I have a responsibility to bring out the heaven deposit that's in them for the generation that God has intended them to live in. So the way I parent my children is not about proving myself to be a great mum. And I think a lot of mums live vicariously through their children. And so then we actually have this unhealthy soul tie to our kids. And we can't parent them properly. But realizing God has given me this child. This child is God's child. God intended, you know, each one of my four children to live in Brisbane in 2022 at the ages that they are for a purpose for his kingdom. And so I need to keep that at the forefront of my parenting. And so if I'm going to do that well, I need to know this for myself, and so that I can always come back to this when they have their challenges. So there are always going to be challenges. Please don't try to bubble wrap your children. Have the conversations. Make sure that you're the first person to have the conversations. And that nothing's off limits. And they're not coming to you for your opinion. They're coming to you for the sound word of God. And so there are going to be endless issues that come up, whether it's gender, sexuality, romance, self-harm, all the stuff that they're going to face, friendships, you know. One of the keys, practical keys that I learned really early, I was a youth pastor for 14 years. And although there's no manual to raising children, I did notice a pattern. And so I started to ask the mothers of kids who were doing well what their habits were at home. And there was one common denominator, one that I found, that the children who were doing well, their mother crawled into bed with them every single night at bedtime. And so I started to do that. Now, I've got four children, and every night takes 2 hours. Every night. And I lie in bed with them, and that's when I'm their intimate counselor and friend. And they're all completely different. All of my children are completely different in personality. So one of them's explosive, the other one's black and white, another one's like social and entertainer, another one's introverted and analytical, but they will all wait till bedtime to disclose. And so that's the time when I earn their trust. I don't give them like strong, harsh advice or correction. I'm there to hear them and hear their heart and speak destiny and the word of God over them. I do then take those moments and I try to create teaching moments around the dinner table so that all four of them can be coached, so I don't have to do the same thing four times. So, for example, the gender thing. You know, my children also go to a Christian school. And Christians are so misunderstood with gender because we are seen as judgmental and harsh. And unfortunately, that's nothing new. The apostles all went through it. Jesus went through it. The truth is that God loves every child and has a purpose and a plan for every child. And so my daughters who were coming home saying, "Mum, we're going to play girls' football teams who will have boys in them identifying as girls," instead of being shocked, please don't be shocked. If you are shocked when your child comes to you, they'll never come to you again.
That's right.
It's like, really? Yeah. Well, this is the world you live in now, so what are we going to do about that? So my thing was, you know what, if you ever have the opportunity to play with a child like that, see it as a God opportunity.
So
walk straight over to that child and say, "Hi, my name's Maya, my name's Layla, and I just want you to know that Jesus loves you."
Amen.
Come straight out with it. You might have one moment to sow a seed.
So good.
Jesus loves you and I do too. Let's have a good game. And I said to them, "If I get called into a principal's office for your behavior, I'll pay you $50. You might have one opportunity to sow a seed of love into that child, and that is all that we all need. Any one of us just need love. And so there are just so many opportunities that our kids are going to face. Please don't mother out of fear. Don't do anything out of fear. Do everything from a place of God confidence and opportunity. We are the salt and the light. We have to teach our children that in every challenging situation, it's an opportunity to be salt and light. Without judgment, without harshness, but with love to cut through. And if there's ever a time where we need to raise people like that, it's now. So please don't do anything out of fear. Earn your kids' trust. Don't ever be shocked. Tell them all the time, nothing's off limits. Beat their friends to it with information you're sharing. "I'm just about to take my little boy, 8 years old, away for a night to have the talk with him. And that's going to be difficult because Sam was going to do the boys. I did the girls. But he knows because the older three have told him. It's the dreaded conversation." So he's like, "Oh my gosh, what is this?" But I want to beat everyone to it so that I'm the safe place to go to and that I'm the one he comes to when all the stuff is put in his face. So anyway, I could talk forever about motherhood.
Oh, I love that so much. Thank you. This next question really bounces really well off what I think both all of you guys have been talking about. It says, "It's one thing to speak the truth in love, but how do you actually minister to someone sexually confused they can be free too? What if it's your child?"
I would say the presence of God. I would say the presence of God. I think we can put things on a scale. You know, that's really much harder than that. I've had people, even just this morning in the green room, two beautiful girls who are going through their own journey and saying to me, "Oh, but it's nothing compared to what you've just gone through." There's no scale. Life is life. And every challenge is a challenge. And the presence of God is the answer to all of it. And so I can honestly say, obviously I've never been in that situation, so it's kind of ignorant for me to even assume anything. But I know in previous challenges I've had with the kids, I asked for a God strategy for myself. And I've had some of the most outlandish strategies. I remember God said to me, "Plant a veggie patch with her." Okay, I did that and it fixed it.
Wow.
Yeah, like whisper every night into her ear when she's falling asleep. And it fixed it.
Wow.
You know, I'll just sit and pray for the God strategy. And that's what Joshua did, and God's strategy was march around a city. It sounded ridiculous. But then also, some of you may know Sam Evans. Sam and Russell run Planet Shakers Church. And I asked her once, "What do you do with pastor's kids who are familiar with the presence of God? Like, how do I grow my children up to never be familiar with the presence of God? That's one of my challenges. You know, they're in 300 services every weekend and they know when someone says, oh, the presence of the Lord was so thick today, it was probably because the aircon was the right temperature, the singers weren't off key, the lighting wasn't in their eyes, right? And yes, the presence of God was there, but they kind of grow up with that cynical thing. She said, they have to have an encounter. Yeah. They have to have an encounter of their own. And so I regularly actually have prayer meetings with my kids, worship sessions with my kids. I teach them how to prophesy. I teach them how to pray the word of God. I teach them now how to lay hands on other people and see healing. And so that they have their own experiences that they can't deny. So no matter what your child's going through, if it's gender confusion, that's not too hard for God.
No.
Yeah. And it's actually a side issue to their relationship with Jesus and their encounter with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Let God give the Holy Spirit his job back.
That's right. Yeah.
You just be the person that takes them to his presence.
Yeah. Excellent. I love what Carolina said there, because I think sometimes as mums and as wives, we want to be the convictor, but that's the Holy Spirit's role.
Yes.
And if we step into that role of being the one who convicts and points out everything that's wrong, we actually remove ourselves from the safe place. It's the Holy Spirit's role to convict. And all these side issues we're talking about, you know, the Lord spoke to my husband and I a few years ago and said, the greatest gift you can give your children is to teach them their identity in Christ.
Amen. Yes.
And if they know that,
yes,
then everything else will take care of itself. And so the Lord gave us 15 values to teach our children. And so we went to our senior pastors and we said, our life group this year needs to be our children. Are there any other kids in the church who don't have a mother and a father who you would like to sit in our life group for a year? We want to teach them 15 values about who they are in Christ so they're equipped to go out into the world. And so we created family games nights, family meal table, all the things that some of these other children didn't have. And it was our absolute privilege to teach them these 15 values of who they are in Christ and then let the Holy Spirit convict anything that doesn't line up with that. So I think that that's a big one for us. We love to try and grip things and fix everything, but that's actually not our role. Really not our role. And so anything we birth in the flesh, we have to try sustain in the flesh. But anything we allow the Holy Spirit to birth, the Holy Spirit sustains.
Amazing.
So I would agree the same. I don't want to go further into it, but yeah, I'd agree the same. Just the whole aspect of spiritual warfare as well. You have authority in your home to speak blessing and life, close doors, open doors. So not to be one, you have to, you be a bit covert, because on the outside you're not shocked at all. You're like, right, oh, that's interesting. And then behind closed doors, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you know. And when they're asleep at night, you're praying over them. You know, you've got to pray, you know, get someone to pray with you, and mainly also so that you're not leading in fear as well. Because wherever there's fear, they will also want to, you know, even shock more or do more. And so often it's looking at holistically what is going on with your child and their relationship, and and just re-looking at it, making sure you've got good connection with them, making sure there needs to be a reassessment of family time, and, you know, a checking of yourself. Actually, am I spending time with them? Are they asking God? Are there areas where actually, like, I know sometimes when I get home, I can think, oh, I feel so, you know, depleted. I forget that I've got a 15-year-old waiting at home for me. If she's at home after a Sunday night, you know, and I go home, she goes, oh, you're home, so excited, blah, blah. And I'm like, can I just sit down and, like, watch Antiques Roadshow? But I realise that I can't do that, you know. So if you're getting to that place where you're forever depleted, then you need to look at yourself and go, you know what, my tank is forever empty, my kids are suffering for that. Let's look at me and fix that up. Yeah.
Love that. Let's talk about the prophetic for a little bit. We have a lot of questions about the prophetic. Pastor Stacey, I might
angle this one at you. What is the best way to grow in the prophetic, specifically seeing in the spirit and spiritual warfare?
The best way to grow in the prophetic is to grow in intimacy.
Very good.
Because we often, you know, scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14:3, pursue love, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. I know many people who eagerly desire to prophesy. I know less people who will pay the price to pursue love at all costs. And that scripture is structured in a progressive way in the original language. So a better way to put it would be pursue love, then eagerly desire. And I think that we can often want to represent God's voice, but the more important thing is to represent God's heart. So the example that I like to use is when my husband sends me a text message, because I know him so well, he could send it in all caps and I would know he's not yelling, that his phone's stuck and he doesn't know how to fix it. I would know when his voice goes up and when it goes down because I know who he is. But when a stranger sends me a text message, if they send it in all caps, I'm like, why are they so angry at me? Why are they screaming this whole thing? Because I don't know who they are. So when we're growing and hearing God's voice and representing his heart to people, the way we learn what he's passionate about, how he would say what he's saying, is here. So the more we read the word of God, the more we understand his character and how he would move, and the better we can represent his heart. Because the goal is not that people walk away after receiving a prophetic word and go, whoa, she is so accurate.
Come on.
The goal is they walk away and go, I am so loved by God and seen and known. And I think that if I reflect on the Bible's culture of prophecy, we live in a very individualistic culture. If you look at the arc of Scripture, you're going to find it hard to point out to me more than five individual prophetic words.
That's good.
You're going to be able to point out God speaking to a prophet for a people group. Even New Testament, yes, like with Agabus, you see it with Paul. I can probably name five or six examples. And yet, what do we see most of in the church today? Prophecy that's individual, individualistic, and from a platform. It's not wrong. I'm just saying it is a slight difference than what we see in Scripture. So I think when people ask about growing in the prophetic, sometimes they've got this model in mind of, I need a microphone in my hand and I need a platform. And can I say the safest place for you to grow in the prophetic is on your knees? And in one-on-one conversations with people, obviously inviting the covering of leadership and all the things. But really, when we ask about growing in the prophetic, the only way is to grow in intimacy. It really is the only way, right? Don't you think?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Pastor Carolina, how do you explain or deal with the reality that some of the prophetic words, are your husband's illness didn't come to pass?
Can I hit record on my phone? I need this answer.
I came back to this. Okay. When I don't understand, I trust.
Yes, Carolina.
Full stop. God is a lot smarter than me. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. And he is also outside of time. He's not a man that he should lie, but he's outside of time. I'm in linear time. You're in linear time. February 18, 2021, Sam got diagnosed with bowel cancer. May 5, he started chemotherapy. October, he finished. November, he got the second bad report. I'm in linear time. And the whole time God is speaking to me. The whole time. Right now, on the 13th of August, is that what the date is?
Yeah.
We're sitting here at 10:50 with 7 minutes to go. But right now, God is also at your funeral, your birth.
That's right.
He's also right now at the beginning of time. He is outside time. So when I don't understand, I know, because I know God, that there's something more to the story. And to even try to fit God into my natural thinking is actually just going to drive me insane and push me further away from Him. So I just know, without a shadow of a doubt, that there's more to the story that I don't understand. More to the story of Sam's life, my life, the prophetic words. None of them were lies or wrong. I just know that one day they'll make sense. We see dimly now, but one day we will see clearly. And I still trust God. And so I think in our world where we want answers, we want all the answers, there are some questions that will only be answered down the track. Yeah. Maybe on this side, maybe on the other side, I don't know. And trust, it's a beautiful thing. I'm preaching about it tonight. My whole message tonight is about trust. And without it, you've got nothing.
That's right.
Actually got nothing. So I'm not shying away from prophetic words. I'm not shying away from the gift of healing. I still believe without a doubt that God's will is to heal. In fact, the weapons that the enemy might try to use when you've been through a bad time or when the prophetic word didn't come to pass from your understanding is to bring bitterness into your life, cynicism into your life, doubt into your life. Once bitten, twice shy, not this little girl. The word of God still speaks healing. The word of God has not changed. And just because it falls outside of my current experience doesn't mean that it's void. I need to bring my experience up to the Word of God, not bring the Word of God down to my experience. So if God was big enough to be understood, He wouldn't be big enough for us to worship Him. We have to rest in that. So I'm sorry, but you're not going to get a black and white answer to that question. It's just trust.
Yeah. So good.
That's amazing.
Just want to honour Pastor Carolina for that, because we are so privileged to sit here and hear that. That will stay with you for the rest of your life. That is like weaponry that you've put in your hands today that you need to take with you for every fight that you face, that here's a woman who's faced a fight, come out the side not bitter, not cynical, not saying, you know, she's just like, nope, I got a thing to do here. I got kids to raise. I got territory to take. Yep.
And can I just add to that? One of the ways I can reconcile my why questions that don't have answers is the fact that the enemy would love nothing more than for me to get bitter and depressed and sit at home. The best way I can kick him in the teeth is to sit here and share my experience with you. And it's the same for all of you. Don't let him win. In your battles, do not let him win. We are on the winning team. So the only way I can reconcile unanswerable questions is to keep kicking him in the teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Let's, for the last couple of minutes, we have some questions regarding marriage. How do you, as strong and powerful, independent women, submit to your husbands in a way that is godly but still allows you to be a strong woman?
I actually love this question. It needs more than 2 minutes.
No, you go. You go. I've talked enough.
No, I want to hear you. No. I actually don't find it hard.
No.
I'm very blessed. I have a husband who loves me to bits. And when you're able to look at a man and know that he loves you,
Yep, that's right.
Loving back is not hard. And I think the world's view of what that connotation of that verse is like, you know, I don't know, it's distorted. You know, a woman and a man, a husband and wife, we face each other together. You know, we are armor bearers together. We're in a fight together. We are a team. We often, Rob and I often say, Team Porter. And so, you know, we remind each other and encourage each other. But I don't shy away from the fact that, look at the, you know, I do see Rob as the head of our home, like the Bible says, but I don't like, yeah, like he allows me. I think a wife should grow more and more beautiful and more creative and more fulfilled because she's got a husband actually that champions that in her. And I think you can see in me that that's what Rob does, you know. So, but there's, it doesn't mean you never argue and that you never fight because, you know, that's all part of life and marriage. And so I think it's, it's like coming back to when we do have an argument, I've shared off different times, it's, I normally come back to, I go off and sit in my room and I fold my arms and I can't believe he said that. I just like, and, but I calm down, you know, this is a kind answer turns away wrath. And I tend to be, probably my weakness is that I don't like fighting. So I tend to like go quiet rather than fight back. But that's a strength as well because I will go and sit and think about something first. And normally I think about it, I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me. And I just quiet myself down because you can't really think very clearly when you're in a rage, you know? So it's no good really having a conversation when you're both raging. It's better to like pull out, find space, let's go back to our corners and regroup later, you know? So hope that helps. Yeah, that's
awesome. Did you guys want to speak into that one at all as well?
I think I'm married to a man who has never asked me to be less than. I've never felt like I've had to diminish myself or be smaller for him. And true empowerment is that you feel like you can be all that God has called you to be, and that's no reflection on anyone else. And it's the same for him. I want him to feel like he's completely empowered, supported, loved, championed in all that God has called him to do. And when it comes to disagreement about decisions, at the end of the day, I'm going to defer to his leadership.
Great.
That's my role. That's my choice. That's my joy. Yeah. There's safety in that for me.
Yeah.
And there's actual weight for him to carry before the Lord in that. Mm-hmm. That if all I'm doing is nagging about that, yeah, it becomes even more of a weight for him instead of me releasing him to be able to hear from the Lord to lead our family and it to be my joy to run with him when as a prophet I don't even agree. What happens when you've got a very strategic husband who can see the next 10 steps in the logical but you can see 10 years? And you have the conversation and he still says at the end of the day, yes, but I really feel like we need to do it this way. I have a choice. I have a choice in that moment, and I have always seen God move and honour our relationship and there be such a safety and a joy in it when I go, but you're the leader of our home, the leader of our home. And so it's never about anybody becoming smaller or coming under. It's about a mutual empowerment so that both can be the most kingdom effective and together we're a gospel message. Our marriage and our family is a gospel message.
I'll add something really quick just from this week. This week was chatting on Wednesday with a friend of mine, someone really dear, who's going through marital things. And I went to bed that night so sad. My heart was so broken. And I just had all these images of Sam again in his sickness and how sick he was. And I actually couldn't fall asleep. I wanted to ring this friend of mine and I actually just wanted to punch her in the face. Because what I would give to put up with Sam's rubbish again. Honestly, ladies, what I would give to put up with my husband's rubbish again. And why is it that we expect them to be perfect when we're not?
Say it, say it.
Why is it that we choose to behave the way that we behave? Seriously, your husband has quirks. Your husband is annoying. Your husband does dumb things, says dumb things, thinks dumb things, but so do you.
Yep.
And I lay there in bed crying over all the times I said the things about Sam that this girlfriend of mine was saying about her husband. And I wish I could have taken them all back. God gives us marriage as a gift.
Yes.
You're not perfect. He's not perfect. So just laugh about each other's stupidity. Enjoy each other. And I want to tell you, you are both echo chambers.
Yep.
You will be who he says you are, and he will be who you say he is. So let's stop talking about submission. It's a side issue.
That's right.
Let's stop pretending like it's about that. Let's just actually admit to ourselves, he's a jerk, I'm a jerk, but we both love Jesus, and God's put us together to enjoy life together, and companionship from someone who's lost it is a blessing and a gift. So go home and stop picking on your husband's dumb things.
So good. We're all jerks. We all learned that today.
What did you get from conference, sweetheart?
I'm a jerk.
Well, go back again.
He's going to sign me up for next year. Sign me up straight away.
All right, one last question. For all of the single ladies in the house, can we get all the single ladies to give us a single ladies wave? There we are. All single ladies, all single ladies. Okay. Can you speak to the single ladies in the house and how to hold out for the right one without settling in a world of dating apps and casual hookups, etc.? We'll finish on this question.
Don't hold out. You're not holding out. You're loving Jesus in this season.
So good.
You're not holding out for anything. You're not waiting for tomorrow. You're living right now, and God isn't like, oh my gosh, she's single. I can't do anything with her. He's not surprised by your current circumstance. He's not surprised by my current circumstance. You're just as potent and powerful as the girl next to you. Just get on with it. Just love him. Like Stacey said, intimacy.
Yeah.
Intimacy. When he's your first love, it doesn't matter if you're married or you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not holding out.
Yeah. So good. So good. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, there we have it. We're all jerks and you're not holding out. It's good. It's good. Why don't we get
and she's going to get a podcast soon, so get more to come.
I should call my podcast
We're All Jerks.
Jerks.
Yeah, there it is.
It'll sell.
So why don't we give these lovely ladies a round of applause to say thank you. Amazing. Actually, Pastor Stacey, could you close us in prayer?
I'd love to.
Amazing.
Lord, we just honour you in this room and we thank you that we have the mind of Christ. We remind ourselves right now, all these questions that have been asked, we have the mind of Christ. We have access to wisdom from before the ages, from the depths of the heart of God, through the Holy Spirit. So even the questions we didn't get to today, we bring those questions to you. What do you say about my teenager? What do you say about my marriage? What do you want me to do about this situation I'm facing? And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you love to give us keys for how to walk like Jesus. I thank you that we have as much of you and your voice as we want. We're as holy as we want to be. We're as led as we want to be. We need your voice. We need your wisdom. We're so grateful for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for paying a price, for sending us the Holy Spirit. We choose to listen to your voice louder than culture, media, even the voices on this platform.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, we're dependent on you. And so, Lord, I thank you for every woman in this room right now, that all of her unanswered questions actually have answers in you. And so, Father, I thank you that you're our shepherd, you're faithful to teach, you're faithful to guide. And we are here because we all love you so much. And so we give you honor and glory for relationship, for wisdom, and for your presence, and for joy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. How good was that?
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's message. Our hope is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, we'd like to invite you to begin your journey with him today. When we read scripture, we see that sin separates us from God, but that our relationship with God is restored by salvation through Jesus Christ. This happens because God gave Jesus his Son to die in our place, to deal with the sin problem, and he rose again so that we can have eternal life with him. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we can know salvation today. If you're ready to do that and turn from a life of sin, then pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer for the first time today, we would love to know and reach out to you and support you. So please contact us at hello@kingdomculturechurch.com.au.